Hi, welcome to Daily Bread with Jam, a podcast by the Holy Spirit You Channel. My name is Michelle, and I just want to remind and reiterate that we are a whosoever will channel. So we appreciate you being here to be encouraged in your walk, be challenged in your walk, get started in your walk. But thank you for joining us. Today, I'm going to be talking about two trees. Not sure that's going to be the title of this segment, but it's going to be the working title. Two trees. The two trees. And as always, I don't know if this is going to be a singular installment or if it'll turn into a series. I generally don't know those things until later. But thanks again for joining me. I'm going to hop right into it. As I was completing another recording, Holy Spirit showed me something very, it's very profound. And it, as much as he has taught me and shown me over the years, this one, as we say, hit different. And we've heard it, at least I have, in different ways. But for some reason, when I heard this, may have been even earlier today, the day or date doesn't matter. I was humbled, and I was able to recount and recall some things, because I've talked about free choice, God giving us free choice. We like to say free will, but it's not free will. Free will means something actually happens, something on the level of God. God has free will. We have free choice. Is our will involved in making those choices? Yes, but our will is not free in the way that we think. We have free choice, the ability to make decisions based on information that is presented to us. So I talk about that often and talk about the fact that, you know, we like to find blame. We like to blame God. We like to do all of the things except deal with the contexts in which we are actually making choices and the reasons why we are making those choices and how we're not actually able to make or practicing making informed decisions. And some of that we have to grow through and out of. That's part of the process. But some of us simply aren't willing to do that. So as I was talking about, you know, I think I did another segment the other day that talked about, within the segment, talked about the Garden of Eden, talked about the fact that that was heaven on earth, that represented heaven on earth. And God gave specific instructions, not for his benefit, for our benefit. And he showed me something, talking about Garden of Eden and talking about the flaming sword that once Adam and Eve got put out, basically evicted, flaming sword to protect the tree of life. He said, because you're going to go after that one next, and that means you'll have eternal life in your present state. So I'm going to cut to the chase, and then as the Lord leads, I'll provide additional context, if not in this segment, perhaps in another segment. So what he showed me was trees are essential in the kingdom. We, as human beings, serve a role as trees in the kingdom. We're supposed to be fruit-bearing trees, and I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective. That's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, because we are the trees that are supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit, but we cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit if we are not indeed led of the Spirit. Because the only person that can produce Holy Spirit fruit is Holy Spirit. Taking that a step further or a step back, the specific instruction that Adam was given was do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Again, for our sakes, not because God had something to keep from us. He's given everything. He's given everything of himself to us for the purpose of redemption and salvation and restoration and all of those other things that come along with it that we say we want, but we don't want to do the deep work and the faith work that is required to get them. So he says, I've given you every single thing you could need and many things that you could want. I've given you everything. I'm just asking you to take care of it and make sure everything is in order. Don't eat from the fruit of that tree. Everything. This is us every single moment of our lives if we're not careful. No matter what we get, we are never satisfied. And part of it is to exercise and test our exercise, develop, test our decision-making capacity, our ability to make choices. And if given the ability to make those choices, which way, choose ye this day who you will serve? Will it be God or man? Blessing or cursing? Right? Choose. I put before you life and death. Therefore, choose life. So unless we have those opportunities, on the one hand, we're not going to be able to develop those faculties in the way that God intended. He does not force us to choose him. He invites us to choose him. So he says to Adam, the condition of you remaining here, basically, and he doesn't say it. We find out after, because of the response to Adam and Eve's choice, don't eat of the fruit of that tree. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because at this point, he doesn't say this. Now I'm sharing revelation, not so much what is in the scripture, what is in the text. With the moment you eat of this tree, you then not only become aware that good and evil exist, but then you also become accountable to that knowledge. Not only do you become aware, but then you become accountable to that knowledge. This is the point at which the Lord is saying, just understand, I'm giving you the choice. Don't eat. Say, we hear it. Jesus says it again. Don't eat of this tree. Jesus says, I'm putting before you. Therefore, choose life. You still have a choice, but I'm actually giving you the answer to the test. So, of course, we know the outcome. They get evicted. The flaming swords are now put up in the Garden of Eden, a representation of heaven on earth, to protect to keep us, because all humanity is implied, and please don't ask me any questions about how all that happened, because I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know the answers. What I'm saying is based on what I know and what I understand from the text and from the revelation that God has given me, this is what I understand. All of humanity is represented in that moment, in Adam and Eve, the first man, the first male, the first female. So we then, now, through their choice, are fallen, in a fallen state, in a crooked state, in a place where our nature is compromised. Understand that that's the gravity of what happens. That's the gravity. As much as we want to dispute about whether it was an apple or a pomegranate and some other things, and whether it was a snake, a serpent, or whatever it was, as much as we want to dispute about some things, we miss the principle, which is that this was the introduction to not only us being introduced to sin, or sin being introduced to us. It is also the first statement that God makes, or one of the first, about to imply and to infer about an impending salvation. The two trees, that's still the working title. I don't know what it'll end up being when you see it published, when you see this published. The two trees. There is now, so this is where we are told, you're not in heaven on earth anymore. Adam and Eve are summarily evicted. flaming swords are put up to keep them from accessing the tree of life, which means that in their now fallen, crooked, broken state, that we would have had eternal life without being restored, spiritual principles, without healing, without all of those things. Tree number one, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in that day. So when we look forward, if you can objectively to whatever degree possible, look forward from Adam and Eve to the cross. We haven't gotten to it yet, but we're looking at it because God just inferred and just instructed and just told us that even though he didn't say it explicitly, he's saying you're going to have a need for salvation because I'm putting you out. Because now you're going to have to make choices that you wouldn't otherwise have had to make because of your own choice to disobey, right? Obedience is a choice. Because of your own choice to disobey, now we're going to have to walk together so you can work this thing out. But don't worry, because I'm walking you towards your redemption. I am walking you to a second tree. It's not going to look like this one. I'm walking you to a second man and a second tree. So the tree that you are leaving behind is now actually facing the tree you need to go toward. This is, if we're standing at the point of Adam and Eve's eviction, looking forward. Of course, that's at the beginning of the New Testament and the whole premise for which we are introduced or being introduced to the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and there was not anything made that was not made by the Word. So now, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What's on the second tree is the Word. His name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. So we're now in this place of moving past, through time, facing the second tree. A choice was made. You know, so people say, well, why do we have to choose? And why God? And God has done everything for you that you would ever need done. He's done everything for me that I would ever need done. One, I don't get the whole thing, so I can't tell you that I know it. But what I do know, I can share with you. You still then have a choice to make as far as your own belief, your faith, your process in the Lord. But he's already given us the answers to the test. We still then have to choose ye this day whom ye will serve, and every day we have to make that choice. Because there's always something lurking, tempting us to eat of another fruit, to operate according to another spirit. Every tree bears fruit. You will know a tree by its fruit. Meaning, we should be able, now, and I need everybody to be clear, because somebody's going to try to justify wrongdoing based on what I'm about to say. But this is from the Bible. This is by the Spirit of God. So if you're not operating in love, no. If the Lord isn't leading you in certain ways, no. This is about all of us, not some of us. We have to make choices. How we respond, things that we do, don't do, say, don't say, that's called fruit. Our behaviors, our personalities, all of these things, that's called fruit. If you read Galatians 5, which is one of my pivotal scriptures when I'm sharing with other individuals, when I'm sharing with other humans, when I'm sharing in a group or sharing one-on-one, I will tell people if they have difficulty understanding the difference between humanity and deity, God and man, Then read Galatians 5, because he tells us, you know, life, death, good, evil, all of those things. Verses 19 through 21 show us a clear picture of non-Holy Spirit fruit. It shows us the fruit we bear when we are not operating according to Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 show us what trees look like, or what the fruit of the trees look like that are led of Holy Spirit. The only person that can produce Holy Spirit fruit is the Holy Spirit. A tree shall be known by its fruit. If you went to an orchard and someone said, go pick apples, and you got there, and yeah, I'm going to make this kind of an exaggerated example just to make the point, and you got there, and either there was nothing on the tree, or you had your mouth set for a fresh apple, or you wanted to make pie, apple pie, and you have on there pears or oranges, all fruit, but not the fruit you were told was supposed to be there, then you're going to have a problem with that. Because, you know, you were jonesing for this apple pie or this apple taste, and now you've been bait and switch. It's bait and switch, right? That's not an apple tree. We would be quick. And even now, when something's out of order, by the way, we don't necessarily know how to judge that. But if we say that something is out of order because it doesn't reflect our tastes, our desires, our wants, our needs, then we're going to call it out. And God is saying, you will know a tree by its fruit, and we want to have a problem with that. But he says, you will know a tree by its fruit. Here's the fruit of humanity, non-Holy Spirit-led. When this could, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, could be, you could all be trees in my kingdom. Remember, God is equal opportunity God. That's why this is a whosoever will channel. At the same time, we will operate with love and respect and peace. We will bear the fruit of the Spirit in our interactions with one another, because anything less perpetuates us being in sin, serious need of healing. And it does not reflect a repentant spirit. A repentant heart. We should not be perpetually causing each other pain. We should be perpetually available to God so that he can deliver people out of pain, out of distress, despair, destruction, degradation. So back to looking through, we're looking now at the second tree. And you see it all throughout the Old Testament. There's pointing to, there's the inference of Christ in every situation where a redemption is occurring. So when we talk about why we have to choose, it's because a choice was made at the first tree. The instruction was given. A choice was made. The choice was made to disobey, to rely on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, to cherish the gift above the giver. And so now God has already told us throughout the Old Testament, don't worry, I got you covered. We already handled this, but I still need to let you walk through this process. You got to walk through this process if you're going to get back past the flaming swords to the tree of life. So he sets up another tree. Let me clarify that. The second tree he's promised to manifest, because the acts, the covenant between the Father and the Son took place before the foundation of the world. Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when we see the second tree, so the first tree appears with the knowledge of God, from God, that the second tree must also appear. The second tree doesn't really look like a tree, not in the way we think about it. secretary looks like a cross. And at, it's at that cross, at the place of the cross, after Jesus completes his process in the earthen vessel, and returns to his spiritual state. We have to go to that place spiritually. That's the place where we meet him, he meets us, and takes us through the cross into our process. So just like we met, we made a decision by way of Adam through the first tree, we have to make a decision by way of Christ at the second tree. One brought death, the other brings life and life eternal. It's not a game we play. It's not who's the greatest, whatever. God is telling us, okay, in order to be redeemed from that choice and the responsibility of all of the wrong choices and decisions made by humanity, us personally, and therefore collectively, a second choice has to be made. Why do I have to choose Jesus? I can make up my own way. I can. Okay, yes, you can. Go ahead. We all can. But he's given us the answers to the test. He provided himself every step of the way, knowing even before he let us, gave us life, that we were going to betray him. Knowing, and I mean even in the first choice was the betrayal. Knowing, he said, okay, son, we're going to have to do this right now, because when I let this thing manifest, we got to make sure. So to anyone that's asking questions about why you don't have to choose Jesus. None of us have to choose Jesus. That's not what this is about. What he's saying is, you are in a state, we are in a state or condition that needs redemption. We need restoration. Restoration to the place we were in prior to the tree, the first tree, where we walked in harmony with God. The way to restore that is to believe and choose Christ at the second tree, because he is the only one that has demonstrated or that he is the only one through whom the Father demonstrated resurrection power. Resurrection is a sign of bringing death, something that is inherently, evidently dead, Lazarus, back to life. We are born into a condition where we appear to be alive and are, and should be grateful for that, with at the same time understanding the need for a spiritual resurrection, i.e. born again, according to the Spirit. Two trees. What we lost at the first tree, by our own choosing and choice, we gain and get back by the glory of God in the name of Jesus and by the power of Holy Spirit at the second tree, which looks like a cross. I think that's as far as I'm supposed to take this right now. If not, you'll hear more about it later. But sit with that for a minute and examine yourself. There's a song. I can't remember. I don't remember if it's Messiah. I don't want to misquote anything here, and I love classical music. Since by man came death, since also then by man has to come the resurrection, which means that Christ had to embody. The first man at the first tree took on death. The second man at the second tree brought us life. Let's not take it for granted that we know, that we know, that we know. We don't. God is continually speaking. He's continually bringing revelation. We are the trees of the kingdom, but we're also the trees of, we can be the tree of life to other people, or we can be trees that don't bear any fruit or bear the wrong fruit. Yep. It is a song, since by man, but it's also, it's just scripture first. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. We're not talking Twilight Zone. We're talking about spiritual reality, spiritual principles, and why we as human beings, not just some of us, all of us need resurrection. All of us need God to revive us again. But we make the choice. He's already done the work. He's already honored himself in the process. I love agape you. I bless you and yours. I pray that we would get a revelation of the fullness of Christ personally and therefore collectively. I pray we continue to humble ourselves and to repent before the Lord, to seek his face, to be led of the Spirit, in spirit and in truth. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.